This is the Electronic Intifada Newscast. I'm Nora Barrows-Friedman, Associate Editor at the Electronic Intifada. It's day 552 of the genocide in Gaza. Here's a brief summary of some of the latest developments this week in Palestine. Israel has committed massacres across all areas of the Gaza Strip, while for 6 weeks now it has closed all the crossings for food, fuel, medicines, construction vehicles, and every other essential supply, plunging Gaza into another deep starvation and health crisis. More than 390,000 people are estimated to have been displaced again, according to the United Nations, with no safe place to go. Every day, dozens are killed in Israeli attacks. The Palestinian Health Ministry in Gaza said that in the last 3 weeks since Israel broke the ceasefire on March 18th, Israel has killed nearly 1,500 Palestinians. Al Jazeera reporter Anas Al-Sharif shared this video of Israeli fire belt strikes hitting Gaza City on April 3rd. Our contributor Abu Bakr Abed has been reporting on the attacks over the last week on Deir Balah in central Gaza, where his cousin and his cousin's child were killed at the gates of the Al-Aqsa Martyrs Hospital on Saturday. The Israeli army has issued forced expulsion orders to residents of Deir Balah in the past few days, threatening residents with attacks if they do not leave. The Israeli military said that it carried out 45 separate attacks across Gaza between Tuesday and Wednesday alone. On Wednesday, April 9th, Israel attacked the Shejaiya neighborhood of Gaza City, destroying dozens of residential buildings and killing dozens of Palestinians. An eyewitness told the Al Jazeera network that, quote, "We were talking in the street and suddenly we were shocked to see these buildings' bricks flying apart, in addition to flying hands and feet." Another survivor added, quote, "It is a massacre with the full meaning of the word. I haven't seen or heard about a massacre like this since the start of the war. Most of the martyrs are children and defenseless civilians." Mahmoud Bassal, the spokesperson for Gaza's Civil Defense Corps, said that there were dozens of people missing and stuck underneath the rubble. Al Jazeera's reporter Hani Mahmoud said on Wednesday that, quote, "The army not only dropped multiple bombs, but these were also earthquake bombs that shook the very foundations of nearby buildings, destroying the majority of them. Entire residential buildings have been turned into ruins. A large number of casualties arrived at Al-Ahli Arab Hospital in Gaza City, but they are struggling because there is not sufficient medical care available due to shortages of supplies and doctors." Mahmoud said that civil defense crews needed to stop their rescue operations because armed Israeli quadcopter drones hovered above them. Also on Wednesday, Israeli airstrikes bombed the tents of displaced families in the so-called safe zone of Al-Mawasi, killing 3 Palestinians, including a child. The day before, on April 8th, Israel bombed Al-Mawasi. Doctors Without Borders said that its teams in the nearby clinic received 9 victims after a strike hit 300 meters away from the facility. 2 were dead on arrival, including a 2-year-old boy, and the 7 others were wounded. Dr. Mohammed Shath, an emergency room doctor working at the clinic, said, quote, "Honestly, I can't describe the scene and the injuries in the stomach, head, and chest. Absolute horror." On April 7th, Israel bombed a community kitchen, also in Al-Mawasi, that was distributing meals to displaced families. 4 children were killed in the airstrike. This video by journalist Samar Abu Samra shows a man carrying the body of a small girl who is wearing a traditional Palestinian thobe. He says, quote, "Look, they're all children, all of them." Another man says that the kitchen workers were distributing rice and lentils to children and Israel bombed them. And another witness says that the girl is 5 and the oldest of the children who were killed was 6. "This is so wrong," he says. "Nothing in the world justifies the killing of children."
كلهم أطفال لابسة الثوب الفلاحي الفلسطيني كلهم أطفال المستشفى دي كلهم كم شهيد في؟
حتى الآن يمكن أربعة كلهم أطفال.
شو كان بعمل؟
والله كان بوزعوا رز قاعدين رز. والله رز كان بوزعوا عدس. والله رز وعدس بوزعوا على أطفال ضربوهم. أخوي راح. أنا 5 سنين 6 سنين أكبر بنت فيها. حرام والله الله ما بقوله يا زلمة بنيات يموت. إيش يعني؟ راح يجيبوا واكل ياكل. إيش لا يا عمي؟ خلصونا. شو هذا؟ إيش واكل؟ خذوا واكل ما تروح عندك إياه.
In the south, the Gaza government media office said on April 7th that Rafah is, quote, the city that the Israeli occupation wiped off the map and turned into a complete humanitarian disaster. The media office stated that Israel has transformed the entire Rafah governorate, quote, into a closed military operations zone, completely isolating it from the rest of the Gaza Strip and considering it a complete red zone. It continues to commit horrific massacres against defenseless civilians, causing the systematic and comprehensive destruction of infrastructure, vital facilities, and residential homes, rendering the city uninhabitable. The occupation army, the media office added, quote, has completely destroyed more than 90% of the homes in Rafah Governorate, representing more than 20,000 buildings containing more than 50,000 housing units. In addition, 22 of the 24 water wells were destroyed, including the main Canada well, and the distribution pumps, depriving tens of thousands of families of safe drinking water. The isolated Rafah governorate was not only bombed, but was systematically destroyed and obliterated in a scene that reflects the occupation's premeditated intent to empty the land of its people and alter its geographic and demographic features, the office stated. Quote, we affirm that these crimes will not pass without accountability and that the steadfastness of the people of Rafah Governorate and the rest of our people will remain a living witness that the will to live is stronger than the machine of death. The Palestinian Health Ministry in Gaza reported this week that while medical teams and ambulance crews continue to operate under life-threatening conditions to save lives, 37% of medications and 59% of all medical supplies are at zero stock. This includes medications for operating rooms, intensive care units, and emergency departments that have been depleted to unprecedented levels, with higher percentages of critical medications being at zero stock, such as 54% of medications for cancer treatment, 40% of those for primary care, and 51% of medicines for maternal and child health. Furthermore, the destruction of diagnostic imaging equipment has severely restricted patients' access to these vital services, while fuel shortages threaten to shut down hospitals' essential departments that rely on generators, the health ministry added. The UN Children's Fund, UNICEF, warned this week that Israel's ongoing blockade of humanitarian aid is having terrible consequences for 1 million children in the Gaza Strip. And without essential food, medicine, shelter, and safe water, malnutrition, diseases, and other preventable conditions will likely surge, leading to an increase in preventable child deaths. UNICEF said that complementary food for infants, which are crucial for growth when food stocks are low, has run out in central and southern Gaza. Israel murdered 3 journalists this week in Gaza. On April 5th, an Israeli airstrike bombed the home of journalist Islam Mekdad in Khan Yunis, killing her and her son Adam, along with 5 other members of her family. On April 7th, Helmi Al-Fakawi, who worked for the Palestine Today news agency, was killed when an Israeli airstrike targeted a media tent outside of the Nasser Hospital complex in Khan Yunis. Another man, Yusuf Al-Khandizar, was also killed. Helmi's colleague, reporter Ahmed Mansour, was engulfed in flames as colleagues desperately attempted to save him. Mansour was left in critical condition with life-threatening injuries and succumbed to his wounds on Tuesday. A witness to the airstrike told Middle East Eye that those in the tent, quote, tried desperately to rescue Ahmed Mansour from the flames, but there were no resources available, as the foam, wood, and nylon in the tent quickly caught fire. The Gaza government media office said that 8 other journalists were injured in the attack. The media office adds that 211 reporters have now been killed in Gaza since October 2023. Euromed Human Rights Monitor condemned the public escalation of the slaughter of journalists. The organization's legal department director, Lima Bustani, stated that, quote, "Burning a journalist alive in Gaza is not aimed at silencing the truth. Israel already relies on a far greater force, the world's indifference to the truth." Bustami explained that Israel's systematic targeting of Palestinian journalists also sends a chilling message. Your truth means nothing. We can kill you with the camera in your hand, and no one will save you. She added that Israel's crimes against Palestinian journalists is, quote, "a performance of power and a declaration of impunity in action." We've published many features on the Electronic Intifada in the last week, but we wanted to highlight excerpts of Starvation and Solitary Confinement, 14 Months in Israeli Prison, by Abdullah Yunus, writing from Gaza. Abdullah profiles the journalist Ahmed Shakoura, a friend of his who was arrested in December 2023 and detained inside Israeli prisons for more than a year. He said he lost around 138 pounds during his detention. Quote, "I have known Shakoura, who is 37 years old, for 4 years. Our friendship developed while he was a trainer for a course I took on digital media in Gaza City in 2021. He works for the Palestine Today news agency and is married with 5 children. He's also a skilled cook and enjoys swimming and playing electronic strategy games. I met up with Shakoura in the Al Rimal neighborhood in March. It was noon, and we sat outside under the sunshine that he had missed seeing during his 14-month detention. He was one of 369 Palestinian prisoners released by Israel in a February exchange for 3 Israeli prisoners. We found no place to sit and talk except on the rubble of the destroyed houses around us. Shakoura told me he had been listening to the news of the Israeli military invasion of Gaza City on the radio in his home when soldiers arrived and demanded via loudspeaker that the residents leave their homes and surrender. Shakoura said the men were told to strip down to their underwear. The soldiers tied me with 3 strong plastic handcuffs and blindfolded me so that I could not see anything, he said, pointing to the wounds still visible on his hands. These handcuffs caused severe harm to my hands. They crushed my skin and flesh and reached the bone. The Israeli soldiers took Shakoura and a group of his male neighbors by bus northward to the Israeli military base in Zikim. For 18 hours straight, we were not allowed to drink water or relieve ourselves, and despite being very cold, we were not allowed to wear any clothes, he recalled. The Israeli army then transferred Shakoura to the notorious Sde Tayman military camp. I was still blindfolded and handcuffed, and they made me sit on gravel with rough edges. It caused me injuries in my leg. I remained like that for 5 days in a row. Shakoura was then transferred to the Al-Jalameh prison in central Israel for 140 days, which he described as the most brutal period of his imprisonment. For 5 continuous hours on the road to Al-Jalameh, the soldiers beat me severely with iron rods. I did not know that there were other detainees with me until I heard their screams while they were being beaten, like me, Shakoura said, mentioning that he was blindfolded the whole time. When he was released on February 15th, he said he did not know whether his wife and children were still alive. When the bus arrived in Gaza, I saw my wife and children waiting for me. When they saw me, they didn't recognize me at first because I had lost so much weight that I no longer looked like they remembered. He said my children looked at me, unsure if I was their father or not. But their doubts faded when I smiled at them and rushed to embrace them. At that time, I felt great joy and thanked God a lot. Shakoura is now receiving medical and psychological care at an outpatient government program at Nasser Medical Complex in Khan Yunis. He has returned to work as a journalist and also hopes to open a restaurant in Gaza one day. Those are excerpts from Starvation and Solitary Confinement, 14 Months in Israeli Prison by Abdullah Yunus, writing from Gaza on electronicintifada.net. Turning to the occupied West Bank, my colleague Tamara Nassar writes that Israel is subjecting Palestinian children in the West Bank to a campaign of systematic ethnic cleansing, according to the human rights group Defense for Children International Palestine. Since the beginning of the year, Israel has killed 20 children in the West Bank. In the latest case on Sunday, April 6th, Israeli soldiers shot three Palestinian children, including two with American citizenship, in the town of Tur Musayya. One of the three died as a result. The town's mayor said the three boys were picking green almonds from a field near Route 60, a highway used by Israeli settlers that crosses the West Bank. Palestinian-American Amar Rabi, 14 years old, was killed by Israeli fire. Israeli soldiers shot his 15-year-old friend Ayub Jabbar, also an American citizen, and he was placed in intensive care following the attack. Their friend Abdul Rahman Shahada, 15, was hospitalized as well. The Israeli army called the three children terrorists in a post on X that shows a few seconds of grainy footage that allegedly captures the moment they were shot. The Israeli army did not even try to claim that the boys had thrown anything other than rocks. Amr's video said, however, that the video is not accurate and contains no evidence that his son had even thrown rocks. There were six bullets in his body, two in his heart, two in his shoulder, and two in his face, Amr's father told a reporter with the French news agency AFP. Also this month, the Israeli army shot and killed 16-year-old Omar Amr Zayoud near the city of Jenin in the northern West Bank. An Israeli soldier in a heavily armored military vehicle shot Omar from a distance of about 80 meters on April 2nd, according to Defense for Children International Palestine. He was near a school by the entrance of the Palestinian town of Silat al-Harithiya, northwest of Jenin. Omar was allegedly throwing stones and explosive devices alongside other youth at two military vehicles. Israeli soldiers continue targeting children with deadly force with no accountability because world leaders allow them to act without consequence, said Ayed Abu Aktesh, accountability program director at DCIP. For much more, read Tamara's report, Israel Kills Children Routinely in West Bank, on electronicintifada.net. Along with destroying children's rights to live, Israeli soldiers are trying to destroy their rights to learn as well. On April 8th, Israeli officials, accompanied by police, raided six separate UN-run schools in occupied Jerusalem and announced plans to close them within 30 days. Philippe Lazzarini, the head of UNRWA, the UN Agency for Palestine Refugees, said that, quote, some 800 boys and girls are directly impacted by these closure orders and are likely to miss finishing their school year. UNRWA schools are protected by the privileges and immunities of the United Nations. Today's unauthorized entries and issuance of closure orders are a violation of these protections and represent a revocation of Israel's obligations under international law, he said. These illegal closure orders come in the wake of Israeli Knesset legislation seeking to curtail UNRWA operations, Lazzarini stated. Al Jazeera correspondent Nour Oda said that the closure of the UNRWA schools is, quote, extremely problematic because the children would likely end up at Israeli institutions run by the Jerusalem municipality. She explained that the children admitted to Israeli schools would no longer be taught under the Palestinian curriculum, but rather under an Israeli curriculum that erases Palestinian identity and history. Meanwhile, Israeli forces are expanding their military attacks across the occupied West Bank and continue to destroy homes inside the Jenin refugee camp. The army also conducted heavy raids on Nablus and the Balata refugee camp on Wednesday. The Wafa news agency reported that Israeli occupation forces invaded the camp in the pre-dawn hours of Wednesday, deploying troops extensively inside and sealing off the camp's entrances. The soldiers ordered families to leave their homes at gunpoint and then ransacked them. Palestine Red Crescent paramedics said that during the invasion of Balata, six Palestinians were shot and injured by Israeli soldiers, four with live ammunition and two with rubber-coated steel bullets. A child was hit in the face by a tear gas canister and dozens more suffered from tear gas inhalation. And early this morning, April 10th, 23-year-old Ahmed Manasra was released from Israeli prisons after spending 10 years inside and enduring what the Palestinian Prisoners Club says was physical and psychological torture, including solitary confinement, since his arrest in 2016. The Jerusalem Prisoner Committees said that the Israeli army released Manasra far from the Nafha prison in the Naqab, where he was imprisoned, while his family awaited his release at the prison gate. A Bedouin resident in the Beersheba area recognized the 23-year-old, contacted his family, and informed them of their son's release. Our colleague Omar Karmi wrote in 2022 that Manasra's case came to wider public attention in 2015, when a leaked video of his interrogation was broadcast by Palestinian media. The footage shows an Israeli interrogator hurling abuse at the boy and accusing him repeatedly of attempted murder, despite the boy's insistence that he did not have any memory of any stabbings. Manasra was just 13 when he and a cousin, Hassan, 15, allegedly went to the Pisgat Zeev settlement in occupied East Jerusalem with the intention, his lawyer, Leah Semel, said, to scare Jews so they'd stop killing Palestinians. According to the indictment, Hassan stabbed a security guard who was lightly injured. They then chased an Israeli boy, 13, whom Hassan had also stabbed and critically injured. When they tried to escape, Hassan was shot and killed by Israeli police, which operate in occupied East Jerusalem. Manasra, meanwhile, was hit by a car as he ran away. Disturbing footage uploaded later saw the seriously hurt Manasra surrounded by Israelis shouting curses at the boy as he lay on the ground. The indictment against him did not at any point suggest that Manasra had himself stabbed anyone, and the boy denied any intention to murder, to which prosecutors had wanted him to confess. That's from Omar Karmi's 2022 report, Ahmed Manasra case highlights Israel's cruelty to Palestinian children. Manasra spent the last 10 years in Israeli prisons and held in solitary confinement for the past 5 months, which has worsened his mental health condition, according to the family's lawyer. Finally, as we always do, we wanted to highlight people expressing joy, determination, and resilience across Palestine. Afif Nasouli, a journalist and volunteer with the medical solidarity organization GLIA, posted this clip of himself on the beach near Khan Yunis this week. He writes, quote, "I know you're seeing terrible things coming out of Gaza right now, and I'm glad advocates are sharing the images and the realities in the north. The loudness of strikes and drones is torturous. The images are hard to watch because they are truly happening to human beings that are just down the way. But Gaza is so much more than Israel's demolition derby, and Palestinians are so much more than their suffering in this moment. My heart is having a hard time adding to the barrage of images that convey the reality of genocide, because I don't want to make my time here about sharing images you already have. I went to the beach for a walk after doing some work in Khan Yunis the other day, and I wanted to share with you the ultimate resistance. Palestinian kids having a little bit of fun, even amidst strikes and drones and death. They are the future of this nation, and their health and happiness is the purest form of resisting this mass murder." Afif adds that a colleague of his told him something that so many in Gaza express about the beach. "The beach is the one place that the war can't change or steal from us." Here is Afif on the beach.
It's funny. Did he start it or did you? They're all doing it. That's so cute.
That's Afif Nasouli in Khan Yunis. And that's it for the news roundup. As always, go to electronicintifada.net for much more, especially to read our new features by our brave writers in Gaza. You've been listening to the Electronic Intifada's newscast. I'm Nora Barrows-Friedman. Want to hear more? Check out our live stream with interviews, reports, and analysis, along with print articles, podcasts, and more at electronicintifada.net. Produced by Nora Barrows-Friedman, Tamara Nassar, and Pierre Loisel.